Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Thanks for checking in this week with The Kitchen Table. This is episode number 24. I'm Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Jennifer Lambert, is with us. Thank you for being here, Jennifer. If you don't know The Kitchen Table, this is a weekly show that we do. It's in podcast form. It also airs on Shine.fm, where we like to foster conversation across the kitchen table between parents and their teenagers, young adult kids, because we feel it's vitally important for parents to have more faith conversations with kids. Mm-hmm. And so every week, sort of how it unfolds is we have a question that we address. Yep. And it's a faith-based question. And we talk about that. And then for about 20 minutes, we do that. We move into a segment that we call
Music Matters. Me and Dad are both big music people. And so we just talk about we bring new songs of the week, some old, some new, just kind of everything. And then we talk about culture shock.
And culture shock can be what's happening in our nation, what's happening in our culture. We got a couple of interesting things that have happened this week that we want to talk about in culture shock. So let's get to the faith question today. The question is this: does God call people to be single? Where did this question come from?
I was at Upper Room, which is the thing that I mentioned last week, where it's a little worship night for the school. And one of my friends, I actually was just kind of like, hey, I have a podcast. Do you want to ask a question? Like, do you have any questions about faith? She was like, I have a lot. I've gotten them kind of answered since she's been to college. And so her question was, does God call people to be single? I think that's a good question. Because we've spoken about relationships and friendships.
Right.
And we've never really hit on the being called to be single part.
Okay, so I invited Jennifer, and I'm not going to be, we invited Jennifer because she's a single person, but that's not the case. It's like, hey, Jennifer, you're single. Come be on the podcast with us because you have some good thoughts in this, and that's why we invited you into it. I want to start, though, with the discussion. You know, the official question, does God call people to be single? I don't like the word calling.
Yeah.
Calling implies ministry, and I think we need to think more of God's will in my life, that I am single, and that God's will changes for us because God knows the long-term plan but doesn't know our plan currently, and so maybe it's God's will for someone to be single at this time. Let's look at that question first of all. Does God call people to be single? Thoughts?
I think that you can. I mean, God has a different plan for each and every one of us. And some people are called to be, or God's plan for their life is to be parents of a lot of adopted children. Some people are called to be missionaries. That's God's plan for them. And I think that being single, which, you know, I am single, I think that it can definitely be part of God's plan for your life. It can be the total plan. Like maybe you are, his plan is for you to always be single for whatever reason, because of what he wants to do in your life or what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes maybe you're called to that place for a season.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am 44 and still single. I have a friend that I went to church with for years and years and years, and she didn't get married until she was like in her 50s. And we kind of all assumed she wouldn't ever. And she seemed really kind of fine with that. I mean, she dated and whatnot, but she just kind of went on with her life. She was used the way God wanted to use her. And then later in life, she met someone and it was what God wanted for her, and they got married and they're super happy. And so I think it can be God's plan. If anything, if we truly believe that our steps are ordered of God,
right,
then we have to look at that question and say, well, yeah, it's entirely possible that this is part of the steps he's ordered for me.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table, a father-son show talking about faith, music, and culture.
No, we had a chapel speaker come in, and she was single until she was around 50, and she just really encouraged, and she talked about how hard it was to see, because when you're growing up, you're obviously going to be in weddings, and she was saying how every wedding that she's been in was other people's. She was in the bridal party, and it was just very
been there.
Yeah, it's very. She said how hard it was, and she was actually engaged in her, I think, 30s, but she actually got her fiance to go back to his ex-wife, and so it's just kind of like that. Yeah, exactly. Like you're giving me that look where it's like,
it's interesting. Yeah,
yeah. She said she like emphasized on how hard that was because she thought she was gonna marry him and that she was just gonna be happy for the rest of her life, and so she really struggled with that. And she's married now, and so she now looks back and she was like, that's what made me who I am today. And mm-hmm. even though through all that struggle and all that trial, that she wouldn't trade it for the world. And so I just find that really encouraging. Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out the irony. Of course, you can't see us in the studio, but Jacob is wearing a tuxedo today.
I am.
He just came from, as we're recording this, just came from a Christmas music performance, and he has another thing this afternoon.
I do.
And
I just didn't want to change.
The irony of us talking about singleness as and I'm, you're in a tuxedo.
As I'm wearing a tux, yeah.
I thought he just dressed up for me.
Is that what it was?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, scripture, you have really a couple different examples of God's will for certain people to be single, God's will for people to have a spouse. You look at Paul, and that's a lot of the verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is talking about, Paul feels he was called to be single.
Yes.
That God called him to be single. And so that's what God's will was for him. But then if you go back to Genesis and you look at Adam, God says it was not good for Adam to be alone, and God created a partner for Adam. He wanted Adam to have that partnership, to have a marriage. There are couples that choose, and it all comes down to God's will for your life and really serving God in whatever capacity that is. And there are couples that choose not to have children because they can dedicate more of their time to ministry. I've seen the dichotomy of it. I've seen people who are single who dedicate their entire lives to ministry. They are not distracted. If you want to call a spouse or children to distraction, but the fact of the matter is their focus is on their ministry. I know a lot of missionaries that are single and they can dedicate all their hours to it. But I know missionaries that are a couple that have no kids, or maybe their kids have already grown and gone and they're able to dedicate all their time as a couple in ministry together. I've actually seen families. Great example of this. A friend of mine who is, he's Brazilian, part of a church there, him and his wife, both on staff at this large church. When I would go to Brazil, I would stay at his house, and his kids were teenagers at the time. They would all leave in the morning. I'd go with them, of course, and they'd leave in the morning, and the parents would go to the church to work. The kids would go to school, and the kids not going to home after school would come directly to the church, and they would be at the church working until 9, 10 o'clock at night. Wow. That was their life. And their family dedicated their time together. And I was worried about it. I'm like, this is not a good family dichotomy here. This is, you don't have time together for yourselves. And they said, you don't understand. Ministry is our focus as a family. That doesn't work for everybody. Yeah. I'm just saying that.
Right.
But God's plan for your life, his will for your life, whether it's being single, whether it's being married without children and dedicating time there, whether it's being in a family, we have to prioritize, of course.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
There's an interesting thing about the word single.
Yeah.
When I was in my 20s and, you know, I went to like a young adult group at my church, the leader of the young adult group, we once were having like a home group night. He was married, and he gave us like a small teaching about single and about being called single, being labeled single.
Yeah.
He explained, and I really had never thought about it or really looked it up, that the word single, the dictionary, like what it actually means, is whole and unique.
Mm.
He was basically explaining, he's like, you know, if someone asks you if you're single, we all should be single. We're all whole and unique individuals. Yeah. He's like, you're unmarried. I think that kind of revolutionized the way I thought of when people are like, oh, you know, you're single, or are you called to singleness? It's like, no, I'm unmarried.
Yeah.
I should be a singular individual. I should be whole and unique always before I ever get into a relationship with someone else. And so being labeled as single is not a bad thing when you know what single really is. It just means that you're whole and unique. For right now, I'm unmarried, but I'll always be single.
I like that. That's good. I've read some things about how the church many times, a couple different ways. If you're single, they won't put you in specific ministries.
Right.
Or, oh, our church doesn't hire single pastors.
Yeah, I've heard of
that.
Even like single youth pastors.
Yeah, it's like I've heard of single youth pastors usually
have a hard time getting hired.
Yeah, because they want the spouse to also help with the youth group, because they want like both genders to be open to the it's hard for guys to like to speak to a
group of girls
with a girl youth pastor, and so they have her husband that helps. It makes sense. I understand why it's harder.
Well, knowing God's will regarding singleness is like knowing his will really pretty much anything. It requires persistent prayer, mutual reflection, and let's face it, many times God's will for our life comes out gradually. It gradually becomes clear to us, and singleness can be a part of that.
Yes, absolutely.
There have been people in history who probably should have stayed single.
Yes.
When you look at their ministry, I think a great example of that is John Wesley. John Wesley constantly traveling as an evangelist everywhere, and his wife was bitter because of it. Right. And in that kind of a situation. And I have friends that are evangelists, and unless you travel together as a couple or even a family, and I know families that do that, it's so difficult. It's almost, we play artists that are always on the road here at Shine, and it's very difficult on a marriage. They're out there doing ministry constantly. You have to have that kind of relationship with your spouse if you're married that realizes that you're going to be away for a while. There's just no other way around it.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
The majority of us all have a desire or a hope for marriage, but for one reason or another, it simply has not worked out yet. That desire for marriage is one thing that we also need to lay at the altar of living a surrendered life.
Yeah.
Singleness requires acceptance of the grace God gives you for today, not worrying about whether you're going to have it for tomorrow, next year, or the next decade. Seasons of life change. One can live in obedience, acceptance, and contentment for the present season, trusting God is preparing them for other seasons in their life as they come. I knew a single lady missionary, served in Africa for many years, and she got married in her 60s.
Yeah. Oh.
She wasn't looking for it. It just sort of happened, and it was a new season of life. Completely changed for her. And so we just have to trust God that that's the way it's going to happen, how it's going to work us out.
And I think sometimes people equate being quote unquote called to singleness or something with, well, you know, if I was called to singleness, I wouldn't have this desire to get married. God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't, his plan wouldn't be for me to be unmarried, but want to be married. And I think to myself, well, why not? Because sometimes the call in our life or the purpose is uncomfortable. I'm not saying that it's God setting out to torture anybody, but there are times that what God wants us to do or the path he's leading us down is uncomfortable. Maybe we don't want it. We have to be obedient. I mean, really, you can look at somebody like Abraham. I don't think he wanted to take his long-awaited son up a mountain and sacrifice him, but he was willing to do it because the Lord asked him to, and you think, how cruel is it that God asked him to do that? Well, God had a purpose in asking him to do that. Obviously, we know how that turned out. God stopped Abraham from doing that, but to a certain extent, being unmarried and still wanting to be married, like myself, I'm 44 and I want to be married. And so sometimes, I'm not going to lie, some days it's hard. Most of the time I'm fine because I'm just, I'm living the life that God has given me. You have to see all the blessings and everything that you have now and currently. And it is true. I mean, as far as being single, you know, I can pick up and go tomorrow if the Lord calls me somewhere. Yeah. Or if I feel like I have to do something. And so that is part, I think, of the, if God's got you single, there's a reason for it. If you're still unmarried and you haven't met the one, that person, you have to believe and trust. There's a reason, Lord. If I'm speaking to anyone who's been single for a long time, sometimes it's hard not to think it's because there's something wrong. Am I not spiritual enough? Am I not ready? Am I not strong enough in the Lord? Is there something wrong? You know, Lord, am I not listening? Am I being disobedient? So you're not bringing
caught up
that
in
blessing.
Doubt.
Right, exactly. But then you have to go, you know what? But that's not how he works. He doesn't withhold things from you because you're not in devotions enough every day. So I'm going to withhold your husband from you. It's more of, do I trust his plan or don't I? At some point, you know, when I was in my late 30s and even early 40s, I've had to get to a point where I say, I either trust you or I don't. I either believe that you have a plan for me or you don't. And if I do, then I just have to go through my life loving you, serving you, being open for whatever it is that you want me to do. And when it's time, it's time. I feel like when it does happen, I'll look back and go, it shouldn't have happened any other way. God's timing is always perfect. He's never been accused of being early, of course.
Right.
But he really never is late.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Would it be easier for someone just to get a message from God saying, I want you to be single forever. Would there be a sigh of relief?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it'd be easier that way, but that'd be the same thing of like, it'd be really great if the Lord would just tell me I'm supposed to take this job across the country.
Yeah.
Living in faith is not easy. Walking by faith is hard.
Everything would be much easier if he just did that.
Took the pressure off.
Yeah.
Occasionally he does. I mean, occasionally he gives, you know, I will share this. I actually years ago had a pastor pray over me. He was a visiting evangelist to my church. So he had no idea who I was, knew nothing about my life, but he wanted to pray with the members of the praise and worship team. And so he prayed for me. And as he's praying for me, and I don't know how many people subscribe to words of knowledge over people or anything like that, he starts to go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I'm like, what in the world? And then all of a sudden he speaks into my life and he speaks about the situation I was in, that he would have no idea that there were a couple of guys I could have been dating, but for one reason or not, I hadn't been. And I was like, what? This man's from Hawaii. He doesn't know me. And then he went on to say that the Lord wants you to know he does have someone for you. And that person will love the Lord with all that he is. And that's what he will see in you. So in the meantime, learn to love him. Learn to love the Lord.
Yeah.
And then he said, and when you come together, it will be unique and by divine appointment. And I've held on to that promise for 20-something years. And someone might go, well, yeah, but you've been waiting for 20 years. Right. But that doesn't happen very often in your life, that you feel like something from God was directly said to you, because there's no way this person could have known anything. He was getting a word from the Lord to share with me. And so I've held on to that, and it has made it easier at times, because I go, well, Lord, I took that as a promise, and kind of just like Abraham and Sarah, that the Lord said you would have a son, and all this time goes by and they're like, well, yeah, sure, whatever. I think of that and I hold on to it. And so it does make it a little easier for me being single, but it still would have been even better if he'd given some kind of timeline.
Do you feel pressure to get married? From others?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do. I think especially in the Christian world, being married seems to be the call for everybody. Like, for some reason, it's like, it's the whole like be fruitful and multiply.
Exactly.
you're supposed to be with someone and you're supposed to have kids. And and the thing is God's plan for everybody is different. So there are times I do feel pressured. Sometimes I wonder if the pressure is self-induced though, where I'm assuming people are thinking, oh, she's still single, poor thing, or, oh, we should set her up, or, you know, whatever the case is. But occasionally I do.
Is it okay to be single and enjoy it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's hey, I've gone on a couple cruises with friends because we were single and we were like, hey, would go now while we don't have anybody else that we need to account to. Yeah. So I absolutely think you can enjoy. Honestly, I think you should.
Yeah.
You should find joy where you're at. And if you're unmarried, be joyful in that for that time period. If you're married with kids, be joyful. It's not easy to walk through life that way, but the Lord wants us. I mean, let's face it. He wants us to have joy. He wants us. He's our father. He's our daddy. No daddy doesn't want his child to be full of joy.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. If you're unmarried, enjoy it.
I think that with the college age, like a lot of people are starting to get like, oh, who's...
You feel pressure?
No. Me personally, no.
But do you think there's some pressure there?
I think... Yeah,
you have to find them now during your college experience.
Well, okay, it's kind of different for me because you and mom found each other at Olivet. There's kind of like the stigma of like ring by spring and all that stuff for like upperclassmen.
Get your MRS degree.
I'm not.
There used to be literally a bridal shop right on the corner of campus.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird.
I mean, there's one down the street. There's like a little pressure, but I'm waiting for spring because I'm going to tally how many engagements I see. Pressure? I mean, I'm a freshman, so.
There's no pressure right now.
No.
There's probably pressure as you get to be a junior and a senior, though.
My job here at Shine, my whole staff is college students.
Yeah.
For the event team. And I do hear them, you know, they're 21 or whatever, 22. And, you know, some of the girls will say stuff about, I thought I would have, you know, met him by now or this or that. And I'm like, you have no idea how young you are. I know it doesn't feel like it, but you have so, so much time. But I do think there is kind of like a... I don't know if stigma is the right word, but like an expectation that, well, most people meet their person in college, you know, and especially at Christian colleges.
I think it's changing a lot, but at Christian colleges,
it's a little
different.
Especially at Christian colleges, I do think there's people have this expectation that that's where they're going to meet and then they're going to get married when they graduate. And somehow if they're 22, 23 and they're not, then they feel like something's wrong. Don't think that. Don't feel that way.
I want to close it out with this thought. Every person has a different story. God's desire is for you to do one very important thing. Believe that he knows what's best for your life. Mm. It's his will for your life at this time. We don't understand the timing. Many times we don't see the full picture of his will for our lives, but it's all that level of trust that we have to trust in him that he is working this out. So hopefully that brings you a little calm today.
Yeah.
Some perspective. And that closes out our faith question for today. It's time now for us to move into our segment we call Music Matters. Okay, so the way that Music Matter works is we share music together. And I actually only hear about 10 seconds or so of the song. That's what we're allowed to play according to the law because we put this in podcast and the copyright things. And so I do a new song. Jake brings a song, which can be new, can be old, whatever.
Sometimes I just pick mine's more of like a song of the week.
Yeah.
It's not like a new song of the week because you have access to the new music because you work in radio.
All right.
I have Spotify.
Yeah. So it can be songs that don't even go to radio.
Exactly.
And then we do an oldie but goldie, which is where we dig back into the archives and we bring a song back. So I'm going to start off with my new song for this week. It is a song being released soon to radio by Jesus Culture, and it's their version of the song Freedom, which is a great song. And I actually have Kim Walker-Smith, who is a singer with Jesus Culture. She's going to share a little bit about the song.
Freedom was written by a few friends, Jordan Fry, Hank Bentley, Christian Sandfield, Brett Yonker, and Mia Fields. The first time that I heard Freedom was when Jordan Fry was doing it with his band Urban Rescue while they were out on my solo tour. They'd open up each night with the song Freedom. I loved, first of all, how energetic it is and how it's just so joyful and happy and really fun to sing. But I also love the declaration that it is. It's powerful to declare freedom and to declare that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there's new life in his presence. And that's something that I really wanted to be able to sing and to declare on our album, Living with a Fire. And so I called up Jordan, and of course he was stoked to have me sing it and have it be put on our record. So that is where that song came from. And I am so excited to be singing it every time that we do it, because it is a message that feels very personal to my own testimony and a message that is for everyone.
I love Jesus Culture. They're a good band. They always put out good music, I feel like. They're fun to play too.
All right, so your song this week, Jake.
Yeah, so my song, it's not new. It's actually technically an oldie but goldie for me.
Because
I was seven.
Still not that old.
Yes, but it was 9 years ago.
9 whole years. Wow.
Wow. No, it can't be an oldie but goldie if it's within a decade.
No, wait. It's not nine. I'm bad at math. It'll be 12.
I think it has to be at least 20 years old for it to be counted.
Well,
I'm
not 20 yet, so.
All right.
I'll be 19 this month. Does that count? Reliant K's Christmas album. Reliant K is an old band. Not to you guys, but to me it is, because I loved them when I was a kid. They put out a Christmas album, and it's kind of like Rocky Christmas.
Yeah.
I love it. And so it's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, but it's kind of like pumped up, and I liked it. This is my favorite Christmas album, and it's a good one. So here's a little bit of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Reliant K.
The word he used.
Yes, pumped up.
We could pump you up.
It's rocking.
Good song, Reliant K. Love that band. Great band. Now let's go back into the archive, shall we? We're going to go back to 1991, year I was married.
Yes.
This is the.
I was 17.
Yeah, thanks.
How old do you feel, Dad?
Yeah.
How old? I wasn't even born yet. You know that, though.
Yes.
I was born 8 years later.
1991. This is the 20th, number 20 on the list of the top songs from that year. Not the number one. I wanted the number 20.
Oh.
Because this guy, he started his career a few years prior to this album, but really this is where it broke loose. And his career has gone on for now decades. He is the most award-winning Christian artist ever. He has 5 Grammys. He has 58 Dove Awards.
Ooh, I know who this is.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't.
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Stephen Curtis Chapman, and this is the number 20 song from 1991, For the Sake of the Call. So we had that call theme going today, if you noticed that.
Yes, yes.
You know, are you called? I didn't plan that. This sort of happened. But again, it's God's
will.
And
that's what every good speaker does. They relate what happened to what they talked about.
Yeah. So that closes up Music Matters. Time now to move into Culture Shock. So a couple of things happened this week in our country, I guess, that we wanted to bring out. And we're going to start with, of course, the passing of former President George H.W. Bush. Some amazing stuff.
The creator of SpongeBob also died.
Yeah, I knew that. I don't have that on the list. I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying, RIP, bro. SpongeBob is amazing.
All right. Back to President Bush's passing. We saw a lot about his life, and I thought it was just great and has tremendous respect no matter what political party you're on. We saw this amazing funeral at the National Cathedral. His son gave the eulogy, which was very
heartbreaking.
You know, probably the best speech he ever gave, even probably through his presidency, showed the real emotion of a son grieving for his father. One of the things that I read that I did not know, President Bush, who passed away, grew up Presbyterian and in the Presbyterian church. Did you see the coffin, the way the coffin was positioned in the sanctuary?
Not.
Well, typically you'll have the congregation and the coffin will be lengthwise. You'll see the broad side of the coffin.
Right.
His coffin was not. And they have it actually lined up where his feet are facing the front of the sanctuary, where the platform would be, where the cross would be, out of respect and worship for Christ.
Oh my goodness.
I thought that was a cool thing.
I just assumed it was just because of the room it was, you know, in the cathedral, that that was just the way they put the coffin for a presidential funeral.
Right. Well, faith was such an important part of his life. In fact, I did not know this. I was in college and probably wasn't paying attention when he was inaugurated. Mm-hmm. His inauguration address in 1989, he actually started the address by praying. He said, "Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Strengthen us to do your work. Make us willing to heed and hear your will." See, I tied this together.
Yes.
Will call.
Will call.
And write on our heart these words: use power to help people.
Wow.
I thought that was great. Then I read another thing that he wrote later in life that said this: character matters, faith matters, family matters. So do friends. At this time of year, we count our many blessings for the values we share with so many other families, so many friends. That really exemplifies his life. It was a life of service. He'll probably go down in history, even though he was just a one-term president, as one of the ones that were loved by everyone, and really speaks a lot into his character. The character based on faith, his upbringing in the church by his parents was a huge part of his life and continues to be through his family. So I thought that was a great thing to mention during Culture Shock. Now, something else that happened this week, maybe you saw it or not, Disneyland had a candlelight Christmas thing. I don't know if it's like ceremony. Yeah. They had all these choirs and musical guests and, you know, these kids choirs. And it was a beautiful decorated thing. But they invited Chris Pratt. Now, Chris Pratt, actor, we've mentioned Pratt a couple of times.
Good old Chris.
On the show. He is probably the most vocal believer in Christ in Hollywood
right now.
I love
him.
And he was invited to read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 as a part of this ceremony. And so he'd read a little bit of the verses, and then they would sing, and a little bit more of the story would unfold, and then it would continue singing. And it got towards the end of the story, and then he went off script. And a script, of course, was scripture he was reading. He went off script, and this is what he had to say.
For me, being a parent has really changed my life in so many ways, one of which is to really understand the love a father can have for a child, that a parent can have for a child. When I stare at that little precious creation of mine and I watch as he attempts to please me in his sweet way, the love that I feel is so pure and unending. And the more we love our children, I think the greater our capacity to understand the love that is felt for us by our Father in heaven. Each of us his special creation, each of us attempting to please him in our way. That, for me personally, gives me a great deal of comfort and hope. And I think we should embrace all of our tomorrows with that hope and with love. And throughout this holiday season and in the holiday spirit, may we continue to spread peace and goodwill throughout the world. Thank you all, and Merry Christmas.
See, Chris does this. He lives out his faith in his public image. Whether people agree with it or not, they have to respect him. Some people hate him for doing it, of course, but it's just amazing. I just want to say again that party said, the way we love our children, the more we love our children, the more we understand the capacity for our Father in heaven to love us. Each and every one of us is a precious creation, and he just marvels in the ways that we can try to please him. That should give us a great deal of comfort. I know it does for me. Mm. He does that. He inserts that,
that
in his public image, which is great.
I love that.
Keep doing it, Chris. We appreciate
That's
you doing
right.
it. Okay, that wraps up Culture Shock.
I just want to say that also we do that here at Olivet, but Dr. Bowling reads it. And that man has a voice that just soothes any crowd.
He is a tremendous public speaker for sure. Hey, thank you so much. Sort of like that thread and theme through the show today is God's will for our life, God's call for our life, whether it's, you know, living a life, being a single for a certain time, that's his plan and purpose. We've talked about For the Sake of the Call and Our Music Matters and weaving that in there. And then, of course, George Bush and how he'd God's will in his inauguration speech. So we got this all weaved together. And that's really what it comes down to, trusting God that his plan for your life, his purpose for your life is the most important thing. You can just trust that he's working it out at this season in your life. So thank you, Jennifer, for coming around today.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of great insight from Jennifer on this topic. And I also want to do one more plug, if I could. Get the bell handy. On the Shine.fm podcast channel, we have a new podcast that has been going on now for a few weeks. Heather from Middays does a Shine.fm momcast. And so as you subscribe to the podcast channel, either on iTunes or Podbean or on the Shine.fm YouTube channel, check out Heather's podcast, Momcast. Great stuff for moms, conversations for moms on that one. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week. If you want to give us a faith question you'd like us to discuss, the best way to communicate to us, the Shine.fm Facebook page, we have the Kitchen Table group that you can be a part of, and just communicate to us that way with your faith question. Thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.